Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ, the risen Christ. Amen. Last week I was sent an apocryphal resurrection story by Margene Gerrards. Sorry, Margene. In my usage of the word apocryphal, I simply mean that it's not exactly a true account. But because it had such a great message and a truthful punchline, I thought even Jesus would love this one. It's just too good not to share. And so Joseph of Arimathea is having a conversation with Pontius Pilate about burying the body of Jesus in a newly constructed tomb. And he says, Pilate says, "Joseph, I just don't understand. You're one of the richest men in the region, and you spent a small fortune on a new tomb for you and your family, and you want to give it to this man, Jesus?" To which Joseph replied, "It's just for the weekend." Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now, what really happened may take a little explanation because of the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus seem to be different, though those apparent contradictions can be explained. In John's account, it appears that Mary Magdalene goes alone to the tomb of Jesus while it's dark, and she finds the stone rolled away and an empty tomb. John's record of that first Easter morning is most likely from Mary Magdalene's perspective, and it differs from the other gospel writers in that they tell of other women going to the tomb and not just Mary Magdalene by herself. But I hope you notice that when Mary runs to Peter and the unnamed disciple, who was most likely John who wrote this, she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." This implies that there were others with her at the tomb. It seems that Mary Magdalene ran to tell the other disciples what they had found, and then came back with Peter and John. So then after Peter and John and Mary Magdalene ran to the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying in the tomb and the body of Jesus nowhere to be found, it says, then the disciples went home. And she, Mary Magdalene, saw two angels. I'm sorry, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. She remained behind. And she wept. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus was laying, one at the head, one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" To us, the answer to the question seems quite obvious, doesn't it? But it was and always is and always will be an important question. Have you ever been in a situation where the information you have is incomplete? You find yourself upset and grieving over something that you knew, that if you knew the whole story, would remove all the grief and replace it with joy. For example, I'm sure you remember the story of the earthquake in Syria and Turkey this past February. It was devastating. Not only was the landscape reduced to rubble, killing tens of thousands of people, but it was in the dead cold of winter. Nearly 100 hours or more, over 4 days, can you imagine, after the quake, they were still going through the rubble, at this point just retrieving the dead. A 10-year-old boy was discovered and pulled out alive. And there were others. A 10-day-old newborn baby was also brought out alive. One member of the rescue team said, "Now I believe in miracles." In the midst of this disaster, knowing that after so many days entombed in rubble, expecting to find the dead, life emerged sadness and grief turned to tears of joy. The expectations of Mary Magdalene and the other women was to find the lifeless body of Jesus lying in this cold tomb. But he wasn't there. Still expecting the worst, thinking the soldiers possibly had removed the bodies, she encounters these angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus was. And they said to her, "Why are you weeping?" And then she gives them her uninformed account of what happened. She says to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and we do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. He then asks the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" But then he adds, "Whom are you seeking?" That too is an important question, isn't it? After all that Jesus had done in his life to reveal his glory to the disciples, all the miracles he had performed that could only be explained by the fact that he was God's unique Son, come to earth to bring salvation, Mary and the others were grief-stricken. The crucifixion had been so branded in her mind, she could not see who was standing right beside her. Jesus had even predicted his death and resurrection. But death, you know, is such a powerful image, so powerful it is difficult, if not impossible, to see beyond it, just as it was for those Turkish and Syrian rescue workers who had given up all hope of finding someone alive after so many days entombed in the rubble. Grief and hopelessness overwhelm us too when we experience the loss of loved ones. The idea of ever seeing them again alive is almost too much for us to imagine. The departed can only be expected to be seen in a graveyard. So that's where Mary's heart was in that moment. That is, until Jesus revealed his glory once again. Supposing this person she was questioning, or who was questioning her, to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said one thing, "Mary." Boom. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Can you imagine the adrenaline rush going from grief-stricken agony to unimaginable ecstasy? If this was just a vision, Mary was going to grasp onto it with her whole being and never let go. Can you imagine then Jesus' loving and joyful expression as he tells her, "Mary, let me go. Stop clinging to me. I'm alive and I still am ascending to the Father in heaven. I'm not leaving you, but I must ascend to the Father in heaven, where I must be seated with him in glory." Now later on, we know that the Holy Spirit would come in power and dwell in the hearts of Jesus' disciples then and even now, so that he could fill them with joy as they journeyed through life toward the kingdom of God's glory. My friends, the reign of death is over. The reign of the risen Jesus Christ has begun. Like Mary, once you can say, "I have seen the Lord," your life will never be the same. When we lost our brother Rich Williams this past week, I said to some of the families, "Our loss is heaven's gain." Yes, we will still feel the pinch of death, in this life. But that pinch will be turned to joy because of the resurrection. Yes, joy, because Jesus promised the same resurrection power to those who put their trust in Him. We rejoice because death has lost its power. Let this be your comfort and your hope in the coming days. Even as we experience hardship and grief in this life, what St. Paul calls our light and momentary afflictions, may we learn to say with Joseph of Arimathea in our apocryphal story, just for the weekend. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. And we turn to the Lord now with our gifts and offerings.